Hello Lloyd, how are you?
Very well, thank you. And you?
Not too bad, not too bad. Can't complain. Good. It's sunny and I'm in England and I feel... Damn it! Why have I just made a big mistake, Lloyd?
Because this is Wales. Wales is a completely separate country.
But in Italy we say England and we refer to England, Wales and Ireland, North America. You just say England, isn't it?
Not at all. No. You can say United Kingdom. You can say Great Britain. That's perfect.
Oh, that's fine.
Acceptable.
That's fine.
That's acceptable. But to go into
England,
into Wales, and to say that this is England, or to call a Welsh person English, it's a real...
Not good, yeah?
No.
Not good. No. So I started in the worst way I could have.
No, but, not really. No. You've given us an opportunity to highlight that fact.
Okay. Okay. So now we
turn a negative into a positive.
Beautiful. I love that. Yeah, I love that point of view. So talking about Wales, where we are, and it's really warm. I feel really warm today. So I think I'm considered to be a lucky man today because it's not raining.
Well, I did say in the car park of the airport, if you all recollected, you all laughed very jovially, didn't you, at my remark that I said the sun always shines.
So in England, it was raining, pouring down with rain, and here it's sunny.
Couldn't you, in the distance, which was Wales. We do have a little bit of a microclimate here in Llandudno.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Basically, because we are a peninsula, and we're out in the Irish the Irish Sea.
Yeah.
So we do tend to have a little bit of a microclimate. So the weather can be very different, only a few miles
away. Yeah.
Away.
It's interesting. It doesn't get boring, is it?
No, not at all. We do have a lot of wind here. Hence, you've seen all the wind turbines.
Yeah, but even there, I mean, I've been here 2 days and there's been no wind. So, wow. I was like...
Yes. It's quite contentious, that, yeah, to be honest, that you put one of the biggest wind farms in Europe...
God.
...on off coast and one of the most beautiful coastlines.
Yeah.
Arguably, in the UK, and then there's no wind, and ironically as well, as if it's too windy, they also can't use them.
Really?
Yes, because
they go too fast.
They go too fast and can damage them. So the conditions have to be perfect.
So you never use them at the end of the day. It's like...
They do generate a huge amount of electricity, oh, right. And to be fair to the company, they do. They promised to invest in local businesses, local enterprise, so they make a contribution.
Nice.
Yes.
So, let's talk about yourself. I mean, we are here in your house, let's say, which is Trinity Language Centre, is it?
And Trinity House Accommodation Centre.
And Trinity House Accommodation Centre. Yeah. You are the owner, is it?
The company's director.
Oh, you're the company's director. Okay.
Yeah. So there is a slight difference in that the company actually belongs to the United Kingdom. So when you register a company, you...
And it's not your company?
No, it belongs to the United Kingdom. Beautiful. So you can have the company taken away from you if you don't manage it correctly. So we are managing directors. We also normally have a company secretary as well. So we're known as shareholders or directors.
Directors. So you are the director, and can you... I don't know. Can you tell us a little bit about your background, where you're from, and as a director, are you an English teacher? Are you a businessman? Are you a poet? Whatever it is, you know. Because I've been talking to many people here.
Yeah, my background is very far removed from what we're doing today. I am really an entrepreneur.
Entrepreneur, sorry.
A business person.
Business.
I've been running businesses since I was about 12 years old. Oh. One form or another.
What was your first business?
My first business, well, it was in school. We used to have a break at lunchtime.
Yeah.
And after eating our sandwich and on the way back to the school, everybody would buy just a little bag of sweets.
Okay, yeah.
2 ounces, we used to call it. It was imperial measurements, ounces as opposed to grams. Okay.
It was ounces.
And we'd come back and that would just get us through the whole afternoon.
Where would they buy it?
The local sweet shop.
Oh, okay.
On the run back to school from going into town. And I'd seen that there was a huge amount of students going in and coming out with their little bag.
Mm.
And one day my mother had made a very traditional British homemade sweet called treacle toffee.
Treacle toffee.
Treacle toffee. It is a toffee. It's made with treacle, sugar, butter. You melt it, but you have to be very careful to monitor it. You let it harden and it becomes very brittle, but it also then becomes very chewy and has a wonderful treacle taste, leaves a very buttery sensation in your mouth. I took some one day to school and gave it out to a few of my friends who absolutely loved it, and they followed me around all day asking me for another piece. I said, I've got no more. So I had a little think, and I asked my mother if she could actually make a slightly larger batch for me, which she did. So I divided it up and measured it out, took it to school, and they sold like the proverbial hotcakes.
Yeah, but did she know that you were going to make money with it?
No, I'll come to that. So of course, by the next day, I needed another batch, and my mum said she didn't eat all that. No, I said, I sold it in school. It all gone in the first 10 minutes. Really? She says, okay, did you make a lot of money? I said, I did a good amount of money. Yes, thanks, mum. She says, can I have mine now? I said, what?
She's an entrepreneur too.
Yeah, what do you mean? Well, where did you think the sugar and the butter and the treacle came from? Oh. So we managed to keep the enterprise going for a few more days before my best friend had thought that he'd been shortchanged, that he was suspicious about the weight of what I was selling.
Oh, because
I didn't have any scales at the time. So the enterprise soon fell on stony ground. Basically, too many demands. My clients were unhappy with the service.
But you saw that it worked.
I had money in my pocket for a week, but it wasn't long then before I progressed to other things.
Other businesses.
Yes, even at 14, I'd moved on to a slightly more ambitious enterprise.
But that's a symbolic way to see how the world of business works, you know?
Trial and error. So yeah, and the next time I corrected some of the things, but it wasn't treacle toffee. We'd gone on to clothing, camouflage jackets. So that was actually very good. So I was never without money in my pocket.
I've always
said, there's two types of people. People who earn money and people who make money.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
The best thing to do is to have a combination of the two. Which is always what I did in my career, which was to have a full-time, stable job and a regular salary and spend my spare time
making
little enterprises, working with other people.
What has been, so before we go into the present one, what has been the most interesting business idea you had after the toffee?
Ooh.
Not the most profitable, but just the most interesting, most, like you said.
This has been, this particular enterprise.
This one? That one we talked about?
This enterprise that we're currently, which is Trinity Language Centre and accommodation, has been the most challenging, obviously. Yeah. It's been the largest. The most interesting possibly was a manufacturing business that I had, where I used to produce giftware for the local gift shops throughout North Wales. It was very good because I could compete with big, massive companies in China. Basically, because I was able to do unique pieces, manufacture and produce them.
But you actually manufacture them yourself?
Yes, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
God.
So I developed all types of systems. That was interesting because I was, I'm a self-taught sculptor. I'm not an artist.
You just learned and did it.
Yeah.
So it's not just like you're an entrepreneur that you find people who do the job. You actually put yourself into the field.
I always do that.
So you understand also the processing in case.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And we went into childcare much later on in my career, and I became qualified and gained all my childcare qualifications.
Beautiful.
Because it's important to understand your business.
You
must start at grassroots level.
Yeah.
And in order to gain respect from your staff, so they know that you have been there and that you do know what you're talking about.
Yeah, that's what sometimes I work with schools where the manager directors didn't used to be teachers or didn't used to do the humble jobs.
Yes, yeah.
They would understand the easiest things sometimes.
Yes, and you can empathize better with your staff, you can have a better understanding, and working as a collaboratively.
Yeah.
So that's why I don't like the term boss.
Yeah.
You can refer to me as your colleague, or the company's director.
Director.
I direct the business.
You always need a leader.
Yes.
Who has the vision.
Yes.
Know?
Then, absolutely. You know. And somebody that has to take the responsibility,
to
shoulder the burdens from time to time. So, but this is our most recent venture, which initially, I have to give the credits all to Raquel, because it was Raquel who came up with the initial concept.
She started the idea.
Yes, yeah. And in our other childcare business, we discussed that and we wanted a business that we could do from home that involved working with children, and then that progressed we grew then into through acquisition. So we took on old rundown businesses with a lot of hard work and care, and working with the staff. They are the most important resource of all. A building is just a building, but the staff are very important. So we invested a lot of time working with our staff.
Yeah, I've noticed that your staff is really like friendly and helpful. You know, I asked for a few things here and there to the cleaner maybe, or the cook. I don't know which one was whom, but they all helped me like they were the actual directors of the school. Well, that was a really good feeling for me, because I'm used to just employees who just don't give a something, you know.
Empowerment is something that we've been working on throughout the company, really, because you've got to have shared responsibility and to enjoy the success of jointly by working together, because it's as much their business as it is ours.
Everybody.
We rely on each other, and our biggest resource is staff. So this is only a small portion of our staff here. We have nearly 50 in the organisation.
So we've got teachers.
Other professionals, So they are what we call early years practitioners.
Practitioners.
So that's their title. They are qualified up to NVQ, National Vocational Qualifications. Some of them up to management levels, and they can progress. And of course, a lot of these qualifications in the UK are transferable. And you can get a credit and a point scheme to push towards perhaps a foundation.
So they're happy
degree.
About it.
Yes,
they get it here
exactly,
in the future.
Yeah. And we want to promote. We make it very clear that we're happy for people to use our organisation as a stepping stone in their career.
Yeah.
All we ask is that you give us 100% when you're with us.
But then
give you a glowing reference.
Yeah. It's good. In the other interview we did with Raquel, she told us about the accommodation, how you welcome families, children. That was really interesting. So if someone is interested in learning about how you actually run the business, they can listen to the other episode with Raquel, your wife. Your wife, isn't she?
Yes, wife.
Okay, so
15 years. Yeah.
You know, sometimes you get this, like you take it for granted, and then you say, oh no, we're brother and sister or something.
Anyway,
that's very good. So the last question is, if you want to say something about yourself that you want to leave to our listeners, like something special about you, something you want to say, a message, anything you want to close the interview with, even if it's not connected to what we'll be talking about, whatever you want to...
Yeah, well, obviously we're talking about the English language.
Yeah.
This is something that I've become very, very passionate about. I took it for granted all of my life. In fact, it's not my first language. It's my second language. And obviously I learned English like everybody else in this room, except perhaps for yourself. It is a second language for me.
What was the first language?
So my first spoken language was Welsh.
Welsh?
Yes, wow. My mother spoke
Welsh. Which is completely
Welsh,
different.
Yeah, it's a Celtic language, so it has no Latin connection, except the more modern words that we've had to adopt. But otherwise, yes, it's one of the oldest languages in the world.
How come you fell in love with English so much?
The reason was because it's such an expressive language with such diversity. But lots of people don't realise that it actually was a peasant language, and that it almost had disappeared into extinction in the 12th century here in Wales, only two languages were spoken, and that was French and Latin.
Whoa.
Well, and Welsh, obviously. So it was a minute language that had almost disappeared, to then become this language.
Her Majesty, the language.
So.
And I heard just the last thing I wanted to add. Yesterday you were talking, Van, and you were talking about using teaching English as a means to enlighten students, you know, like to give them some.
Yeah, well,
not enlightened in the mean, like to give them something else. So, well, what is your objective? Because I think,
well, as a business person now, I'm looking at it. I looked at it, at the whole process, basically, from how to communicate, because that's what we've decided. Thankfully, we've decided to use English as our language.
Yeah, which is
for communication.
Yeah.
For me, it's wonderful because it's a commodity that I have. As I say to you, if I could speak Welsh every day with everybody, then that's what I would be very happy to do. Thankfully, I speak Welsh every day with my mother, and I'm lucky I have some Welsh-speaking neighbours. Okay. But the English language, what I wanted to do was, rather than just bring students here to Wales just to learn about grammar, because most people that arrive here have a good level. They're already conversational. So what we'd like to do now is to hone those skills by interaction. So we have different programs that help to promote confidence in what they've already learnt, and using it in day-to-day situations.
Yeah. So it's not like just superficial language learning, it's just experiences. We were talking about that with David before, about poetry, just using it as a means to learn something.
Absolutely.
And getting some emotion, some confidence. Some
and getting culture. Everything into context. I mean, it's amazing how people love it. Pronunciation is something that I'm very, very keen on. Because, you know, you can have a wonderfully constructed sentence, but if it's poorly delivered and people don't understand quite what you're saying, then
it doesn't even sound that nice sometimes.
No. So that's what we focus on mainly, is a lot of conversation, a lot of interaction, and confidence building.
Yeah. So it's more about the culture and the language as a means to it.
Well, the wonderful thing is that we can share our culture here in Wales, which is far older than England's, although theirs is far more colourful. We can share, but using the medium of English.
Yeah, because
so you can enjoy it, all different topics, you know, everything from poetry to cookery. But through the medium of English, which is what everybody wants. So we do hill walking, for example. We have a group that comes from Alicante in Spain, and it's amazing because they're all quite good conversational level. So while we're walking, we call it walk and talk.
Walk and talk, and you talk about these...
Everything. Yeah.
Like a specific language in that day, you know, you talk about the hills or the whatever.
But not just that, it could be any subject. The wonderful thing is that they're doing two things. They're keeping fit, it's a healthy lifestyle. They're enjoying this wonderful, breathtaking scenery, providing the weather permits.
Yeah.
And at the same time, conversing with like-minded people.
Yeah.
And really share this passion about the English language.
And just to close with, I really like the idea of using the body while learning, because usually learning is... refer to something that you sit down on a table and you just learn, but while you move yourself while learning, I think the learning becomes faster, more interesting, and more effective.
Yes, yeah. It is a really good way to reinforce.
Yeah.
Happy memories and sensations will assist you with memory retention.
Okay, thank you very much, Lloyd.
You're welcome.
It's been
my pleasure.
Very, very good chat. I hope we have more in the future when
I'm
come back.
Sure we will.
Thank you very much. Bye.
Grazie per aver ascoltato questo episodio del podcast di Inglese Vero. A prescindere dal tuo livello, ti consiglio comunque di riascoltare il podcast più volte. Se sei all'inizio, riascoltare ti servirà per poter capire meglio e farci l'orecchio. Ogni persona che intervisto ha un modo di parlare inglese diverso e serve tempo per farci l'abitudine. Se il tuo livello è un po' più alto, riascolta per cogliere parole ed espressioni che non hai colto la prima volta. E se proprio vuoi trarre il massimo dal podcast, riascolta anche successivamente cercando eventuali errori miei e del mio ospite. indipendentemente dal fatto che tu li possa trovare o meno, indipendentemente dal fatto che esistano, questo di per sé è un esercizio potentissimo. In alcuni episodi trovi anche la trascrizione completa, che ti aiuterà a capire e verificare l'ascolto. Dove questo sia disponibile, troverai il link nella descrizione. Aiutami a diffondere il podcast lasciandomi un commento, soprattutto se il podcast ti è piaciuto, e condividendolo con i tuoi amici. Più saranno gli ascolti, i download e i commenti, più potrò proseguire con altri episodi sempre più utili e interessanti. Tu sei la mia motivazione. Se non mi conosci, ti invito nel mio sito www.inglesevero.it, dove trovi contenuti e curiosità su come imparare, mantenere e praticare inglese in modo concreto. In modo vero, come lo chiamo io. E poi potrai anche contattarmi se ne avrai bisogno.